Coming up on KUCB News, the Museum of the Aleutians receives a $50,000 bequest and a glimpse into the tradition of starring. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Zoe Sobel with some local news on Monday, January 7th, 2019. $50,000. That's the amount of money Janice Reeve Ogle left the Museum of the Aleutians. In her time as museum director, Virginia Hatfield says they've never received a gift this large.
This is the kind of donation that we can do something with. We're still kind of looking into what we want to do with it. We would probably put a good portion of it into some savings. We're trying to create an endowment so that we can be more self-sustaining.
An endowment would help the museum create a new income stream. Right now, Hatfield says the museum currently has $40,000 in an annuity, and she plans to add a good portion of Ogle's donation. Another portion will likely go to putting on programs the museum typically cannot fund. Janice Reeve Ogle was the daughter of Robert Reeve, the founder of Revolution Airways. During her life, she worked closely with the museum, including helping to collect and document the airline's history serving the Aleutians. Ogle died in October 2015. Eastern Orthodox churches across Alaska are celebrating Christmas today following the Julian calendar. KDLG's Avery Lill visited St. Seraphim of Serov Orthodox Church in Dillingham and has more on the celebration and the tradition of starring.
Slavi begins right after the Christmas liturgy. Five people stand in front of the church, spinning five brightly colored tinsel and cardboard stars with an icon at the center. The members of the church divide into groups depending on which star represents them. They sing in a mixture of English, Yupik, and Slavonic. There's one star for each of the villages in St. Seraphim's parish: Dillingham, Oleknagik, Portage Creek, and Ekuk. And then there's a great big star. It's 7 feet tall. That one will stay put in the nave of the church, but the others are just starting their Slavi journeys. All three Slavi groups walk over from the church to the parish house with their stars. After singing again there, they share a meal of salmon and ham with the priest and his family. From there, the stars split up. Slavi singers will go from house to house for the rest of the week, following that pattern of singing and sharing food with their hosts. Each star with its singers might go to as many as 10 or 15 houses in a day.
It's like caroling to the extreme and also going into people's homes and proclaiming that salvation has come into the world through the child.
That's St. Seraphim's Reverend Michael Nikolai. Slavi is a tradition that originally comes from Ukraine, and it's celebrated around the state. The stars are symbolic of the star in the Bible that the wise men from the east followed to find the infant Jesus. Traditionally in Alaska, Slavi singers take their stars to other villages by snow machine, or back in the old days, by dog sled. Leona Carr from Portage Creek remembers caroling late into the night as a kid.
We used to Slavi all night long, and it was very tiring. When we fall asleep in a house, they used to leave us, and we'd have to look for them.
In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
Today, community members are invited to Unalaska's starring celebration and potluck at the Ishmael Gromov Senior Center from 12 to 1:30. In the early 2000s, a handful of civil lawsuits brought to light what the Jesuit Order of the Catholic Church knew for decades: that missionary priests in Alaska and on Indian reservations in the Northwest had raped and sexually abused children and young women for years. But after these cases were settled, where did the priests go? Northwest News Network's Emily Schwing spent a year and a half looking for them.
To understand this story, I have to take you way up north to a Catholic mission radio station in Nome, Alaska.
NOM, Music Time Machine, going back to the 1960s and the 1970s. Doors for Western Alaska, KNOM.
The Catholic Church started to send Jesuit missionaries to Alaska more than 80 years before KNOM first went on the air.
We're going to start it off with four Jacks and a Jill and Master Jack. It's a lot of Jacks.
A Jesuit founded KNOM in 1971. His name, James Elwood Poole.
The radio station is a ministry, and it's also an educational vehicle to try to bring across to the people ideas that will help them help themselves to move forward in what is a pretty difficult situation up here of one culture that has been overtaken and kind of swamped by another culture. So we're in there trying to help them hold the gap.
Old photos show Poole in dark-rimmed glasses, and he's always got a wide smile. For more than three decades, Poole was a priest in remote Native villages in western Alaska. He first went north in 1956, and his crowning career achievement? It was probably KNOM. He spent years delivering Christian messages from the station's studio pulpit.
You know, it's not a disgrace to make mistakes and fall. All men and women, old and young, do just that. But after falling, just to lay there and cry, that is a mistake. Rise, start over. This time, make it.
Father Poole's own mistakes became public in the early 2000s. He was accused of sexually abusing children and young women for decades in western Alaska. According to the Catholic Diocese of Fairbanks, at least 19 reports of abuse were made against Poole. Among them is an Alaska Native woman, Elsie Boudreau. She says Poole molested and abused her as a child.
I grew up Catholic, and I loved everything about being Catholic. I was a devout Catholic. I went to a Catholic high school, Catholic college. The village I grew up in is Catholic. And I grew up believing almost like I was more Catholic than I was Yupik.
Another Alaska Native woman says Poole got her pregnant when she was a teenager. According to church documents and other records, Poole convinced her to have an abortion. Court documents also show he convinced his victim to accuse her own father of rape. Her father went to prison, and James Poole, he never admitted to having sex with anyone. But under oath, he said he engaged in other sex acts with women for years.
Father, you knew it was wrong for other people to be doing the types of sexual acts that you were doing with these young women, correct?
Correct.
Elsie Boudreau filed a civil lawsuit against Poole in the Regional Order of the Jesuits in 2003. In a 2005 deposition, Boudreau's attorney questioned Poole.
Why didn't you think it was wrong for you?
I thought I was bringing love into the life of other persons.
By engaging in sexual acts with them?
By being intimate.
And what's your definition of intimacy?
Everything short of intercourse.
In 2005, Boudreau settled her case for $1 million.
The statute of limitations had run. It was a civil lawsuit. There were no options at that point of any criminal proceedings.
But even still, why settle, you know, rather than get a full-on admission of guilt or attempt to get an admission of guilt from the Catholic Church?
That's a really good question, because when they settle, you know, they put in their wording that there's no admission of guilt.
Poole admitted under oath that he did abuse Elsie Boudreau. According to church documents, Jesuit leadership knew for decades about Poole and the crimes of many other priests in remote Alaska Native villages and on Native American reservations in the Northwest. A letter written in 1960 by another Jesuit priest raises questions about how Poole behaved as headmaster of an all-girls school outside a remote Alaska Native village.
Some people have come to the conclusion that Father Poole has a fixation on sex, an obsession, some sort of mental aberration that makes him see sex everywhere. Some think that maybe he is projecting outwardly what is eating him inwardly.
That letter was written 8 years before Elsie Boudreau was even born. In Alaska alone, there are at least 300 known victims of clergy sex abuse, according to the Catholic Diocese of Fairbanks. That diocese published a list of 46 known perpetrators. The majority are Jesuits accused of sexual abuse.
We were like the sheep, and they're the shepherd, and they're not responding to their flock in a responsible way.
After Boudreaux came forward, so did other Native victims from all over the Oregon province of the Jesuits. That region includes Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, and Montana. There were so many cases filed against the Jesuits that leadership in the Oregon province filed for bankruptcy. They settled in 2011 for $166 million, the third largest settlement in Catholic Church history. And the priests at the heart of these lawsuits? It took some digging through the official Catholic directory to find them. They're listed among all the other monks, nuns, and priests in the United States. The directory is a giant maroon book with 2,000 thin pages covered in tiny print. I found these books in the library at Gonzaga University in downtown Spokane.
And then turning to Spokane Diocese.
Eventually, I discovered that accused Jesuit priests used this library, too. I cross-referenced the names I found in the directory with a list of names of accused priests released by the Jesuit order. I found at least 20 accused priests lived at a church-owned retirement home at Gonzaga as far back as 1986. Among them is James Poole. The home is known as the Cardinal Bea House.
Well, then let's knock. Ring the bell.
And I went there to find out more.
What brings you to our humble home?
Well, we are curious about your humble home.
Come on in.
Okay, oh, thank you. Cool, thanks.
Find out what Emily Schwing learned at that house tomorrow at noon on KUCB. The reporting for this series is done in partnership with Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Zoe Sobel. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. Please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecast.